Exodus 3 in your Bibles. One question I think a lot of us like to ask in God's family, just for fun, is who is your favorite character in the Bible? By the way, that's a trick, because if you don't say the Lord Jesus, you're a horrible person, so you should just leave now. I've done that before. Andy, who's your favorite character? Well, I kind of like, you don't like the Lord Jesus the most? Get out. So, that's a trick. So, other than our wonderful Savior, I think if you're like me, your answer can change once in a while, depending on who you're studying or who you're hearing about. Dad has been doing a series on the forgotten and the famous faithful the last few months. I've loved it, but the problem is my favorites list is now bouncing all over the place. So it's one of the most stressful Bible studies I've had to endure for a long time. But if I was really honest tonight, I would tell you that my answer would always be just one man. And he doesn't always make the list, because the scripture is very careful to make sure that it does not put this man in a perfect light. Sometimes we tend to pick on him. We see his faults, and sometimes we play armchair quarterback and go, I don't know what he was thinking. I would never do that. And that man, as you may have guessed, is Moses. When you look at his life, he was the greatest leader of men that has ever walked on the face of the earth, but yet he was declared by God himself to be the meekest man on earth. I wish I could have that title. It's amazing. But again, despite that fact, God does not hide the mistakes or the imperfections of this man. But again, we have the temptation to look at his weaknesses and think to ourselves, man, again, I would never do what Moses did. Well, you know why God mentions these things? Is because we would do exactly what Moses did. In Moses, we see a clear picture of ourselves and sometimes our shortcomings. His testimony creates a clearer picture of all of us, and perhaps sometimes a clearer picture than we're more willing to admit. But as much as this passage maybe mentions the weakness of Moses, it also exemplifies the greatness and the glory of God. We know this passage very well. I love this passage. God is about to do an amazing thing. He is going to finally deliver, his people Israel from the cruel hand of Pharaoh and change the face of history forever. So who gets to lead the charge? Who gets to be the man at the forefront of this amazing moment in history? Poor, humble Moses. And when God proclaimed that he heard the affliction of his people and that he would deliver him, he said this to Moses in verse 10 of chapter 3. Come now, therefore, Moses, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I'm going to save Israel, Moses. Now go tell Pharaoh that. Oh, and by the way, tell Pharaoh I'm taking his free labor out too and into the promised land. Can you tell him for that for me? Could you imagine what must have been going through Moses' mind at that moment? What would be going through our mind? But thankfully, we don't have to wonder, because Moses opens his mouth and he asks a few questions to the burning bush. These questions illustrate man's weakness in his own flesh, but these weaknesses also show God's amazing power and grace in overcoming them. And the first thing we see about Moses and what he confesses with himself is found in verse number 11, Moses' insecurity. This was Moses' response. And Moses said unto God, who am I? His insecurity. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You know, it's funny, in verse 4, earlier in this chapter, he called out Moses and he goes, here am I. And a few verses later, he goes, whoa, who am I? Wait a minute. He kind of backpedaled a little bit. But you know, if we were being honest with ourselves, would we be any different? Now listen, Lord, when I said, here am I, Or even if I was like Isaiah and I said, here am I, send me. I said, send me to the Dunkin' Donuts. You know, maybe I'll hand a tract to someone. That's what I meant. I think you misunderstood what I was saying. And, you know, to be honest with you, I understand how Moses felt. I mean, imagine yourself. God calls you by name. Yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Hey, I want you to do a favor for me. Yes, Lord, anything you want. Anything you want. Okay, I want to send you to this guy. Okay, I want you to send him a message. Okay, what's his name? His name is King Jong-un. Who? King Jong-un. Lord, I don't know if you read the news or if you read Drudge Report. I do. And he's crazy. And why don't you just kill me now? because the guy's nuts. And Moses thought, Lord, I know Pharaoh, and he doesn't want anything to do with me, and he thinks he's a god. He controls the world, and he says here, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? So Moses' insecurity was at an extreme high at this moment. Who am I? My presence means nothing to these people, nothing. I'm a shepherd. And some of you know this, but being a shepherd to the Egyptian mind is not just a low occupation. It's the most despised, the most reviled, that's the lowest of the lowest occupation to an Egyptian. And that's who he was. But Moses' problem wasn't self-esteem. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. We don't need more self-esteem. That is a failed philosophy. The world does not need any more people like those in Hollywood or the liberal elite or the Vegas shooter or the recent degenerates you see on the news, because they all have one thing in common. Did you know that? They all have an immense amount of self-esteem. That's not the answer. Moses said, I'm a nobody. I'm a failure. I'm a shepherd. I would be despised and rejected by Pharaoh. And did God come up to Moses and go, Moses, that's not true. Puts his arm around him. You're a great guy. Anyone would be lucky to be your friend. Oh, you know. Did God do that? No. You know, Moses, in your heart is the heart of a warrior. You're not a chump. You're a champion. You're not a victim, you're a Victorian. Joel Osteen did not speak out of the burning bush. No pithy sayings, no self-esteem. No, God didn't do that. So what did God say? What was God's response to Moses' insecurity and also to ours as well? Verse 12. And he, the Lord, said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. It's amazing how all of your fear and all of your insecurity can wash away when you know you're in the presence of someone who can help you and someone who loves you. One thing that's amazing about Dad, I'm so glad Dad's here. We're going to have fun tonight. I'm glad he's sitting right here. This is probably the last time you'll ever hear me, so... enjoy. No, just kidding. The thing I love about Dad, it's amazing. When I say amazing, I mean baffling, is he can never get in trouble. He can do things that I can never get away with. If he's sitting at a restaurant and goes, I don't have any silverware. I'm just going to get up. And he gets up and it says employees only. He goes to the waiter station, picks up a silverware and sits down. I need some ketchup. That guy's got ketchup. I'm just going to go and pick up some ketchup. And so when I try to emulate my own father, thinking, well, I can get away with that. I try to get silverware. Sir, what are you doing? I'm sorry. I just need some ketchup. I know what you're doing, sir. Just sit down. I'm sorry. I can never get away with the things he gets away with. And one time when we first moved out here, you guys know that another church took over our old property, and we still had a few little items left in Dad's office and others, so we decided to visit one day. And it was a Thursday night, and they had a big service. We didn't know. And I didn't know this, but the Christian superstar, international superstar, the Christian rapper Jabez was set to perform that night. By the way, I changed my answer. Moses isn't my favorite. It's Jabez. The Christian rapper Jabez. He's my favorite. So, and just like Moses, he was the meekest man because he had a huge portrait of himself with a big old fedora. It's like, hey, I'm speaking tonight. And then the problem is he had a massive security detail with him. Limo, guys dressed. And I'm not talking about our security. I'm talking about guys, solid black suits, black shades, earpiece, taser here, probably firearm here, machete in the back. These guys wanted to stab somebody. They were looking for action. So, again, here comes Pastor Jim Blaylock, force field, nothing ever phases him. He goes in, he just goes right into the office. No one whiffs away. No one gives him a second thought. And so, but then they go, they look at me. So I'm about to get tasered. Take him down, you know. I'm horrified. So instantly, like, I don't belong here. My insecurity was growing. I don't belong here. I'm going to get tackled. I have no right to be here. But then I thought to myself, I said three little words. And I looked at the guy in the eyes, I think. I couldn't see his eyes. And I said, I'm with him. And the guy goes, okay. So I said, that worked. So I tried it again. A guy gave me the stink eye. Dad's going through drawers. Oh, what's in here? Oh, this looks valuable. Is this the pastor's office? Okay, it's in here. No, I'm just kidding. He wasn't that bad. But, you know, he's just walking around places he shouldn't. And no one stopped him. But every time I got the stink eye, I'd say, I'm with him. And after a while, I was like, oh, no one can stop me. So I started going to guys, yeah, I'm with him. What do you want? Oh, no, I didn't do that. But It was amazing that after a few minutes, total fear gripped my heart. I really was scared. And then just saying that, hey, I'm with this guy. He's the pastor of this church. All that fear, all that anxiety, all that insecurity just melted away because I was with the right person. You know what the answer is to your insecurity tonight, your fear, your doubt? It's the same as we gave Moses. Certainly I will be with thee. You know, Moses, when he appeared before Pharaoh, Pharaoh could have said, just who do you think you are? What gives you the gall to stand before me? Well, Pharaoh, my name's Moses. I'm nobody. But I'm telling you right now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has come to deliver his promise to his people. He is here to deliver them from your hand. And by the way, Pharaoh, I'm with him. God is not with you in a figurative sense, watching from some faraway throne or in a little glass ball. That's what the world wants you to think. The Lord is right there beside you. He is closer to you than, think about this, than even when he was with Moses in the burning bush. He is in your heart, your soul, and he is by your side every single moment of every single day of your life. You know, and the world is desperately trying to find an identity that will give them security, that will give them purpose and fulfillment. And whether it is in a political party or a civil movement or an ideology or a different gender or a different sexuality or a different animal or a different religion, whatever it is, it will never satisfy them, because the only thing, the only identity that truly gives security and peace is the person who identifies and says, I am a child of the living God, and that same God is with me every step of my life. What the world says to you, just who do you think you are? How do you claim to know the truth? We can say, we know and we serve the one true living God, and guess what? I'm with him, and he's with me. And when we realize that, when we live it, we have no reason to feel insecure when we live that. But Moses didn't just speak about his insecurity. He asked another question. Did you know that? First was his insecurity, but then number two, we see him mention his inability. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of their fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? First he goes, well, who am I? And then he goes, what shall I say? You know, later on, Moses talks about and goes in greater detail about his inability. Lord, I am not an eloquent man. Lord, I am not a learned man. He honestly believed he lacked the skill, the eloquence, the knowledge to perform this task. And you know, we desire to always appear confident, don't we? To always think like we're in fully control of our faculties and our abilities, especially when we're around other people. But when we're faced with the call of God to live a holy life, to live a life with a higher purpose and a higher meaning, we suddenly feel the weight of our shortcomings. Like Moses, sometimes we think it's impossible, even unfair, considering our disadvantages or our circumstances. And again, I understand Moses' thinking. He's thinking, Lord, they're going to eat me alive. What am I going to say to them? Because Moses remembers his failure when he slew that Egyptian some 40 years ago. You know, back then, he was sure in his own strength that he could start a revolution. I'm the chosen one. But he discovered, as we do, is that when we are all powerless, when we try to do anything when it is not God's time, and it's not God's way. And he had the reality of 40 years tending sheep to meditate on that one fact. So when God calls him to go back to the place of his failure, he could have thought, what would be different this time? I already failed once. The difference is what the Lord proclaims right after Moses' question. You know what the Lord's answer is for our inability tonight? Look at verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Remember that this book that you hold in your hand is a revelation. It is a revelation sent from God to you so that you may know who he is. And what he wants us to know tonight is that he is the eternal, the ever-living, the all-powerful, and the almighty I am. The difference is Moses was not going in his strength this time, but in his. A lot of you may be shocked to know this, but I actually am in possession of a few inabilities. I know, it's shocking. When you look at me, you don't really think that. Rick maybe, but not me, other than being blind. For instance, I can't blow a balloon. Don't laugh at me. I can't do it. It's impossible. If you have a birthday party and I'm in charge of decorations, you're not going to get balloons. I'm sorry. I can't blow a balloon to save my life. I don't know why. Stop it. I just don't know why. Okay, I can't do it. I can't whistle. Don't make fun of me. I just can't. I've tried for 30 years. I can't do it. I've given up. It's over. I can't eat cooked carrots. They're disgusting. And on it goes. I can't see you all. This is actually nicer. This is better. I should preach like this. I'm just kidding. You know, I have inabilities, but one of the times where I truly felt like such a miserable failure, so many times, but very intense when I was a teenager, was when I was trying to pass my driving test. You know, the first time I attempted it, it was perfectly fine. I just started. I pulled in the four cones, and everything was fine. It's like, I'm going to nail this. And I started backing up, and I heard, it's like, well, maybe that wasn't me. So I keep backing up, and here's the horrible, gnarled remains of a traffic cone belonging to the U.S. government. And then the lady looks at me and goes, that was a small child you killed. You failed. It's like, that was a traffic cone. Maybe you failed, lady. So I was so upset. I failed the very first test that you have to do to pass your driving test. So I was upset. I was beside myself. Rick was very encouraging. He did not laugh at me at all. He was very sweet. And I was in tears. I'm an idiot. I'm a failure. I'm never going back there. But my parents were very loving. They said, Andy, a lot of people pass their, you know, they fail their first test. Really? Yeah, ones that don't drive good, but, you know, I'm just kidding. But a lot of people don't pass it the first time. Like, okay, that lady was mean. So I cleaned up my tears, I marshaled myself, and I went back a second time. I'm going to nail it. And you know what I did? I nailed it. The lady even said at the very end of the test, congratulations, you passed with flying colors. You did a great job. Oh, thank you. And just park, and we'll get your paperwork. Well, I was in the obstacle course, so I whip around and I park, and all of a sudden I noticed she just went and marked my form. I said, well, what happened? There's no children I ran over. What happened? She goes, you realize what you just did, didn't you? No. When you were going through the obstacle course and I told you the test was over, you blew through a stop sign. I said, yeah, but I stopped at a stop sign at a real road with a real stop sign. Yeah, well, that was a test and you failed. Two. Some people fail once. Who fails twice? So I was just completely dejected. I felt like a miserable failure. I said, I'm going to have to ride my bike everywhere I go now. I'm going to be very fit but exhausted all the time. I'm going to ride the bus like a crazy person the rest of my life. I'm just kidding. But I was completely feeling like a failure, dejected, impossible. I'll never go back to that place. Then mom came in and, like a mom does, used rationale and said, you know, you learned some things a few times. Yeah, I did. I hate those people. You know what not to do next time. Yeah, when the test is over, it's not over. And you know, honey, how many times you fail, I guess, I don't know if that was nice or not, how many times you fail, dad will just take you back. And then dad in the hallway very sweetly, no, I won't. If he messes up one more time, I'm done. Very sweet. Very encouraging. The pressure was on. So very upset. Then my mom looked at me, and I'll never forget her saying, she said, Andy, this is one of those times where you think it's impossible. This is one of those times where you think there's no way out and you don't know how you're going to get through this, but this is one of those moments. You'll look years back on your life and you will see that God comes through for you. And you know what he did? I drove here tonight. I don't know if it was well. You have to ask Sarah that, but I got my license. And it seems silly so many years ago that happened. You know, back then I thought it was impossible. Back then I thought I was such a miserable failure. But you know what? God came through for me, and he has come through for you. And he's going through for you now. He's providing for you now. And he will be with you even unto the end of the world. That is why he is the I am. He has been with you then, he is with you now, and he will always, always be with you. When the Lord told Moses, exactly what to say to his people. I like this. He said, he reminded them of Israel's past in verse 15. He reminded them of their covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God spoke about their present in verse 16. He said, I've heard about your affliction. I have seen your suffering. I have heard your wails and your cries and your affliction. And then he talks about their future for the rest of the chapter. Why? Why would God say any of these things? Because when we're faced with our own inability, with our own failure and disappointments, God's answer to all of us is that he is the I Am. Regardless of the sin of the past, the suffering of the present, or the uncertainty of the future, the same God that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush is the same protector and the deliverer who is with you tonight. And you know, we always make the mistake that when God calls us to do something, we always think it's all on us. Moses was a perfect example of this. You know, when God made a covenant with Abraham, he swore by himself. When Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, Peter, I will build my church. And notice God did not say to Moses, you will deliver my people. No, he said, I will do it myself because I am the I Am. Go tell them, Moses. That is what you tell my people. And that's what God is telling us tonight. Stop making excuses that you can't serve the Lord and that you can't live for God, that you can't be a testimony, that you can't be a strong witness, that you can't live in victory and joy and love because of either something that you did or something that you cannot do. Our ability or lack thereof doesn't matter to God. Our failures, our disappointments, our heartbreaks do not change God's love or his purpose for your life for one second. It didn't matter to God what Moses' shortcomings were, as you can tell here. He was very aware of his failure in the past, but guess what? He also knew his future. He had a plan for him. He loved him, just as he does for all of us now. The Lord is the I Am for Moses, and he is for us tonight. Which brings us to the last lesson in this text. It's very important. And notice, up to this point, Moses was the one who was asking the questions. But guess what? Now he stops. No more questions. Now he just is making a statement. After hearing what God said and all these answers he made about his insecurity and his inability, turn to chapter 4 and verse 1. This is what Moses says to the Lord. And Moses answered and said, but behold, but, that's never good to say to God, by the way, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. We saw Moses' insecurity, his inability, but lastly we see, number 3, his insufficiency. You know, Moses was done asking questions. Now he said, it's not enough. I hear what you're saying, Lord, but that's not good enough for me. There is no way these people are going to hear me. God's word on the matter was not enough for him. You ever notice we as sinful people always want just a little bit more than what God gives us? And then we find that those certain things that we thought we needed, we don't. And what God gives us is always enough. I was talking to Brother Mike Konza a few days ago, and I asked him the same question. Hey, what's your favorite character in the Bible? Well, the Lord Jesus, of course, knows. So he won. He did it right. I'm just kidding. But his favorite character, he said, was Gideon. Excellent. Gideon was had a very similar problem with insufficiency, as did Moses. Gideon was insecure about his identity. He was the lowest member of the lowest tribe of all of Israel. I was the lowest of the lowest of the low. He was very aware of his inability. He was afraid. He was frightened. He was hiding from the Midianites. So that made him the perfect candidate for God to work through and show his glory. But when God called on Gideon to do his will and deliver his people from bondage, just like Moses, what did Gideon do? Well, he needs a little bit more than just God's word on the matter. So he asked for a sign. So the angel of the Lord burns his dinner on a rock. But that wasn't enough. Okay, I got an idea, God. How about I lay this fleece down, and if the fleece is filled with water and the ground is dry, then I'll believe you. So God does it. Fleece is wet, ground is dry. Still not enough. Okay, I got another idea. What if I put the fleece on the ground, and then the ground is wet, and then the fleece is dry, and then maybe, and on it goes. And as you know, God did it. And it's crazy to me that God didn't strike him down for all of his doubting and for Moses. But thankfully, he didn't. Because in his mercy and in his patience, he always shows restraint for those who constantly doubt him, who are not simply satisfied with his word. And we can be like that too sometimes. But God is patient with our doubt. God is patient with our insufficiency, and God is patient when sometimes we don't think that his word is enough. But see, again, Moses wasn't asking questions anymore. He was done. He was convinced that despite what the Lord said, it wasn't enough. So how does the Lord respond? Well, now it's time for the Lord to ask a question. He asked Moses this in verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. As a testament to the Lord's power and the authority in which he spoke, God took a seemingly plain and ordinary item and did amazing wonders through it. Not because the stick was special, because it wasn't. He did it to illustrate how the Lord can use a burning bush, a shepherd's rod, or a man named Moses, and teach the meekest man on earth that everything he could ever need is in the Lord. Moses would learn throughout his whole life that the Lord was enough. When confronting Pharaoh, when parting the Red Sea, when literally receiving food from heaven, with the rock flowing with water, with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, Moses would learn that in the Lord, he had all that he would ever need. The question is tonight, can we say the Lord is enough? Do we have that testimony? Do we conduct ourselves with the people around us in such a way that we testify that all sufficiency is found in Jesus Christ? One of my favorite ministries up in school at Crown was the UT ministry. We would go around the college campus and pass out schedules for the UT game. It was really a track, kind of a gotcha. But it was a powerful time. It was a great ministry. One day I got separated from my group, because I get lost a lot. So I got separated from my group, and I came on a bridge, and there was a homeless man there, older man. And he wasn't asking for money or anything. He was just sitting there, just staring, lost in his thoughts. And some of you know, sometimes when you approach someone and you give them the gospel, you know it was just time for them to receive Jesus Christ. Somebody planted the seed, somebody watered, and then you came up and you just reaped it. And that was him. He was ready. He was ready to receive Jesus Christ. So I just gave him the simple plan of salvation. He was ready to go right there, and he got saved right on that bridge. And for a whole hour, we talked about the Lord. I told him how his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and his eyes lit up, and about eternal salvation and the home in heaven, and he was just filled with so much joy. But I have to admit, the entire time this blessed opportunity was going on, I couldn't help but notice the horrific physical state that this man was in. I mean, he needed a lot of physical attention. So I said, you know, sir, I'm so glad this happened, but, you know, I'm a poor Bible college student. I have a lot of money, but I could get you some food, maybe take you McDonald's. And I go to a great church, and they have a lot of resources. Here's all the information. They can get you the help you need. And he stopped me. And he said, son, today I met Jesus Christ, and that's enough for me. And I said, but sir, you seriously need a lot. And he put his hand up and stopped me. Put his hand in his heart, and he said, this is enough. You know, I saw his physical and his earthly needs, and I honestly didn't think it was enough. But for him, it was, because he had a clearer vision than I had. You know, if we were that thief on the cross, hanging there, looking at the Lord, and he said, just remember me. Remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. A lot of us would have said, well, that's great, Lord. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, Lord, but I don't like hanging on this cross. I don't like being where I'm at. Paul said, Lord, I have a messenger from Satan to buffet me. I have a thorn in the flesh, and I have asked you 3 times, please take it away from me. Please take it away. And Moses could have said, Lord, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of this direction, this calling you're leading me to. I don't know what to do. But whether it's the thief on the cross, or Paul, or Moses, or you, God's grace is always sufficient. The world needs to see that we are not interested in running the same rat race that they are in, that we don't look to them or the vanity of this world for satisfaction or security or fulfillment or peace, as Moses did in the sight of Pharaoh. We show that our own lives, through our faith and trust in God, all we need is in Jesus Christ. I'll say this and then I'll be done. The reason Moses' testimony to me is such a blessing to see is not because of his shortcomings, which, you know, we all have, but because God gave a wonderful answer to each and every doubt and fear that he had and that we could have. So whether it's insecurity that grips you, inability that hinders you, or insufficiency that just stops you, God is saying to all of us tonight that he is with us wherever we go, that he is the I am and he will strengthen and help us, and that he is sufficient for us. If you think about it, that's really the core of our faith. God is with you, he will help you, and he is all that you will ever need. And Moses learned this, and he became the greatest leader of men that has ever lived, but not because he was great, but because his God was great. We may never be called to lead thousands as Moses was, but God is calling every single one of us here to follow him. And if we learn and accept the lessons that Moses received, like him, our lives will never be the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and for the testimony of this man. We know it's not just a story to hear, but it is a testimony to embrace, that a man with so many insecurities and failings and insufficiency found everything he needed in you. And oh, the mighty works that you did through him, because you are great. And the same God, the same Savior that led him is leading us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this amazing truth. Help us all to follow you, despite any fears and doubts we have, to fully embrace you by faith, as Moses did. Thank you for the time tonight. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.